Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 15. Matthew 22, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words, and they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. The same day Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and third down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God, 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He is not God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. At this point, the opposition to Jesus is ramping up, and it's going to peak, of course, at the crucifixion, the sacrifice of Jesus. But they are, well, rather upset with Jesus. Think about some of the things we've read recently, where he makes it very pointed that they are to be condemned. In chapter 21, verse 43, he said, "The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." So he's not holding anything back. He's making it very clear that their ways are not God's ways. So they keep challenging him, and then Jesus answers them on many occasions, is very pointed with his condemnation. And then they come back trying to challenge him again. They're trying to entangle him, as our scripture today said in verse 15. They were plotting about how to entangle him in his words. Now that would probably work for a person. You know, you could probably catch someone in their words, whether they meant to say something wrong or not. You can confuse somebody to the point that you can say, "Aha, I got you." But you can't do that with the Son of God, who is the Word that has come into this world. It's not going to work. But they thought they had a couple of scenarios here that might catch him. The first one, I think they're looking for a reason to be able to accuse him to the Roman government. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? They're thinking, if he says no, then we can go to the Romans and say, look, he's telling everybody not to pay any taxes. But that's not what he says. And he answers honestly and with such wisdom. The fact is, the Jews lost their independence as a nation long before this because they did not stay faithful to God. If they had stayed faithful to God, then they would be independent. But God sent other nations to punish them. And so they are under that Roman rule. And they didn't like being under that Roman rule. They wanted to be released from it, removed from it. They wanted somebody to throw those shackles off and make them free and a nation again. But the fact is, they are under that Roman rule, and under that rule, yes, they needed to pay taxes. And it's almost funny the way Jesus responds to them, because he says, "Show me the money." And they show it to him and says, "Well, it's Roman money, so give it to the Romans." You know, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. There's your spiritual application that he's going to throw in there. Be more concerned about your position before God than your position you know, trying to get out of paying these taxes? It's a beautiful answer to a tricky question. Then the Sadducees come and ask him this other question about the resurrection. Of course, they don't believe in a resurrection, but they have this question that a lot of scholars believe that this was a question they posed to anybody that they felt like opposed them so that they could trick them up, because they felt like it was an unanswerable question. But for God, it's not an unanswerable question. It might be unanswerable for men because they don't understand the resurrection. And of course, the Sadducees are lumped into that, but not for God. And so they pose this question, you know, of this man that dies, leaving a widow that doesn't have any children. And under their law, the brothers were expected to father children with her so that she had a legacy and she had those that would take care of her. This was actually a law that was meant to protect women. And so the scenario is all seven brothers end up trying to father children with her, but none do, and they all end up dying. She dies. And then they all reach heaven in the resurrection. Whose wife will they be? And this is a common misconception even today, this idea that heaven is going to be some version of what we experience now. That I'll get to heaven and I'll be reunited with my family, my wife, my kids, you know, whoever it might be, and that I resume my life at that point. That's not what the resurrection is. That's not what heaven is. It will be a spiritual existence in which these physical things that we have around us, they're not going to exist anymore. And those physical ideas, they're not going to apply anymore. He says, you'll be like the angels. You will neither marry nor that will you be given in marriage. This type of relationship will not exist. So it gives us a little bit of a reveal about the angels, but it also tells us that we can't apply earthly thinking to heavenly things. Now, he also deals with their idea that there was no resurrection there in verse 31 when he says, have you not read what was said to God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. Those were people that were dead, but they're spoken of as living. That's because God is the God of the living. He says, you don't believe in the resurrection, so you must not even pay attention to the scriptures, because here it is. Here's your answer. So in one scenario where the Sadducees thought that they had him in a corner, he breaks down their house of cards of belief that there was no resurrection. Now, I would like to say that this fixes all their misconceptions, but no, Paul uses this against the Sadducees later on, bringing up this controversy in order to create some confusion when he is accused at a later point. So what's our takeaway for today? What can we think about for today? I think we just need to focus ourselves on spiritual concerns. Don't be so tied up in the things of this life and the things that we have to be concerned about now, taxes, governments, pandemics, all these different things. No, focus your mind on that which really matters. Lay up your treasure in heaven where God is, where we want to be, where that existence will be so incredible, and where we won't have these physical things to be concerned with anymore. We will only have spiritual things. And I hope that's something we can all look forward to. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.